Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live on the internet from London. This broadcast is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we continue with the 10th part of our series of programs entitled The Vatican and Europe. We will discuss more about these programs after we've had some music. Thank you. the Vatican, and Europe. We continue with part 10 of this important subject tonight, with answers from the Bible. Over the course of a number of weeks, we are discussing the following. Where in the Bible do we find the Vatican mentioned? Where the Bible shows the Vatican's roots come from? Why Jesus mentions about the Vatican in the Bible? How long Jesus predicted that the Vatican would rule for? And what lessons does Jesus for us about the Vatican today? In our study last week, listeners, we learned that the Jesuits are a secret order of the Roman Catholic Church. We learned that it is a spiritual militia placed at the service of the Pope. Historians recorded that there was no crime too great for them to commit, no deception too base for them to practice, no disguise too difficult for them to assume. Vowed to perpetual poverty and humility, it was their studied aim to secure wealth and power, to be devoted to the overthrow of Protestantism and the re-establishment of the papal supremacy. As we continue to study about the Vatican in Europe, we will see that the Jesuits are still very much active and alive today, in a way that most people have not ever realized possible, through the political ideology they created, called communism. So before we start our study this evening, listeners, let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, once more we thank you for Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio, streaming live on the Internet from London. Lord, as we continue to study your word, I pray once more for your Holy Spirit to be with us, and to teach us and enlighten our hearts and minds in order for us to know the things that we need to know in order to be saved in your eternal kingdom is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Vatican and Europe, Part 10. The Rise of Communism. We read in Psalm chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We read in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 4, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. We read in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. As we studied last week, listeners, the Bible teaches us that there is a global conspiracy against the Lord Jesus Christ, led out by the kings and the rulers of this earth. The leaders of this world, both political and religious, are deliberately conspiring against the Lord Jesus Christ and his chosen spirit-filled people. They are rebelling against the word of God. Whilst the Lord Jesus Christ desires to draw men to himself with bands of love, these heathen rulers refuse to come under Christ's loving rulership. This is the state of this world. Over the past few weeks, we have seen that the 1260 years of papal supremacy, which are mentioned in the Bible in the books of Daniel and Revelation, began in 538 AD and terminated in 1798 AD. We also learned last week that the Lord Jesus Christ calls the papal power the Gentiles or pagan, because the Roman Catholic religion is paganism covered with a Christian garment. It puts its own traditions before the Bible and puts the teachings of pagan religion before the Word of God. And so, as we continue to study the Vatican in Europe tonight, let us now look at how the Jesuits have, over a period of centuries, change the political landscape of Europe and other parts of the world with their ideology called communism. We will study how it has risen and developed into its modern form. We read in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8, "As there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Now listeners, the Babylon here symboled is called she by Jesus. Babylon is a woman. But what type of woman? We read in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." Here we see that Babylon is a mother. She is a mother not of good children, but of harlots, prostitutes. Her children are impure. From Babylon comes the abominations of the earth. We read in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 2, "I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman." Here the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the Scriptures, likens his people, Israel, the daughter of Zion, to a comely and delicate woman when they are faithful to him. We read in Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 8 and 21, "And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city." How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. We see here, listeners, that Christ symbolizes his people, the daughter of Zion, as a harlot, an impure woman, when they are unfaithful to him. This symbolism has been carried from the Old Testament to the New Testament so that we can clearly understand what Jesus is showing to us and how we are to understand his message. The symbol of a mother called Babylon in the book of Revelation is used to represent a Christian church that has become unfaithful to God and that has bred religious bodies which are rebellious against God and impure. We read in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 9, "Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." The word Babel means Babylon, which means confusion. This was the reason why Jesus had symbolized his people, the church, as Babylon. The Christian church has, as a religious body, become unfaithful to Christ, scattered into various denominations and confused. These denominations are called harlots, as rather than serving Christ, his true husband, Christian churches have given themselves over to serve Satan and demons. They have sold themselves to satanic powers in order to gain riches for themselves. But who has led them to do this? Satan has, through the Roman Catholic system of politics and religion. This is exactly what Christ has shown us in his word. We read in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 3, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." Here the Lord pictures mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. The color scarlet is red. The seven-headed beast mentioned in Revelation 17, as we studied in previous radio broadcasts, is symbolic of satanic government on this earth during different time periods of this earth's history. But let us look at exactly when this beast is pictured by Jesus and what event it is connected with in order to rightly interpret the time frame that the beast in Revelation chapter 17 is mentioned in. We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verses 3 to 6 and 9, "As there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In Revelation chapter 12, we are given the history of how Satan and his angels were cast down to the earth. Satan, symbolized by the 7-headed dragon, stood before the woman, symbolic of God's church, and sought to devour her man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. This man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron can be no other person than Jesus, as this verse in Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, is a direct quote from Psalm chapter 2, verse 9, where God the Father declares that he will give his Son, Jesus Christ, the heathen, and the earth for his possession. The child being caught up to God and his throne also confirms that this can only be Jesus, as no other human being has gone up to heaven to be on the throne of God. Next is mentioned a specific time period of how long Satan was to persecute God's church. Note the time period brought to view here, 1260 prophetic days. As we studied previously, using the day for a year principle taught in the Bible, this is the 1260 years of papal supremacy. Thus, Jesus here gives us an overview of the history of his church. Now, listeners, when the dragon is brought to view here, seeking to devour the man-child, Jesus Christ, papal Rome was not ruling. It was pagan Rome, as Christ was crucified under the pagan Roman government when Herod and Pontius Pilate were ruling over the nation of Israel. And so, what time period is the scarlet-coloured 7-headed beast brought to view in when Jesus reveals it to the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 17? We read in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1, "And there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." It is the time that the whore would be judged, the time that the unfaithful Christian church would be judged by God, the time of the investigative judgment. We read in Daniel chapter 7 and verses 7 to 10. "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the 1st horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and the mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." As we studied previously, Daniel was shown that the little horn power would be the ruling power in this world when the investigative judgment started in heaven. The little horn power, as we have studied in previous radio broadcasts, is the papacy. Thus, Revelation chapter 17 gives us a more detailed picture of how the Vatican would rule on the earth in the time of the investigative judgment, which, as we studied previously, started in 1844 AD. Let us now study what the red-coloured beast that she sits upon is symbolic of. We read in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 23. Thus he said, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces." A beast is a kingdom. It is a political power that is ruled by a king or ruler. And so, we see that the Lord had foretold that the Roman Catholic Church would control the state, symbolized by the seven-headed red dragon, in the time of the investigative judgment. Note that it is a red state or political kingdom that the papacy would sit upon or control. It is a well-known fact that the color red is used to symbolize communism as a state power in the world. But the scriptures make it plain and simple what the color red really symbolizes in principle. We read in the book of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And so the beast that the woman is sitting upon, is riding upon, is scarlet coloured, because the sad fact of the matter is that the Roman Catholic Church and all the religious bodies that she has bred direct state powers to do evil. And so, after the break, we will share documented evidence to prove that communism is one of the evil state powers that Satan has bred through the Roman Catholic Church in order to destroy Protestantism, to promote satanic government, and to war against the Word of God.
Voice in the Wilderness is a gospel ministry that was established in 1992. From small meetings of prayer and Bible studies, it grew into a national outreach resource and has since grown over the years into an international ministry that not only carries out evangelistic work through books and tracts and videos, but we also conduct prophecy seminars, health talks, religious liberty meetings, and carry out publishing work. Today, utilizing the latest electronic and printed media, our work has expanded and spread abroad around the world. In Africa, North, South, and Central America, Australia, the Caribbean, and Europe. We are a non-profit organization, and our work is supported by the prayers and goodwill of the people. If you would like to join our mailing list or offer prayers or give financial support, please contact inquiries at wildernesspublications.org, or you can call 440-7962-388-445 for more information. Visit our online bookstore at www.wildernesspublications.org. Visit our radio station website at www.vitwradio.org. May the Lord richly bless you as you continue to listen to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio.
Let us now look into this political system that is called communism. We need to study its history. The Communist Manifesto was written by a man called Adam Weishaupt. Adam Weishaupt was a Jesuit priest. The Jesuits, as we studied last week, are a religious order of the Roman Catholic Church. They are the spiritual militia of the Church of Rome. The following quotes are from a book called The Illuminati 666. Adam Weishaupt was born a Jew, converted to Catholicism, then turned to witchcraft, where he became an expert and founded another sect of the Illuminati. This sect was founded on May the 1st, 1776. Like Freemasonry, the Illuminati is a Luciferian movement to preserve and promote the ancient black arts of Babylonian and Druid witchcraft. With the plan of Weishaupt's world revolution, he hoped to produce 1. The abolition of all ordered governments, 2. The abolition of private property, 3. The abolition of all inheritance, 4. The abolition of patriotism, 5. The abolition of all religion, 6. The abolition of the family, and 7. The creation of world government. To spread his order and give the Illuminati higher influence in the world, and because Freemasonry is akin to Illuminism, Weishaupt connected with the Masonic institution. He was initiated in 1777 into Freemasonry in a lodge at Munich. Since Freemasonry enjoyed prestige and honor, Adam Weishaupt and Baron von Nigg. Von Nigg was a master of most secret societies in his day. They planned a world takeover by using the Fraternal Order of Freemasonry. Their plan was to penetrate into the high levels of the order, then take control in directing the affairs of the nations into an eventual one world government. As we look at the history of communism and how it started, we read, the ideas Lenin developed were directly from the Karl Marx Communist Manifesto, and the ideas founded in the Communist Manifesto were directly from the writings of Dr. Adam Weishaupt. We read again from the book The Illuminati 666, Weishaupt's disciples infiltrated into the high levels of the governments in Germany, France, England, Belgium, Holland, Denmark, Sweden, Poland, Hungary, and Italy. See the book The Illuminati 666, pages 173, 177, 178, 186, and 193 by William Josiah Sutton. And so Satan's whole purpose in inventing the Communist Manifesto through his agents was to influence the governments of the world, to teach them satanic principles, and to influence them to reject the truth of God. Now listeners, let us think for a moment. In order for the papacy to abolish monarchies and all ordered governments, then these will have to be either infiltrated by them from the inside, or, if that fails, as a last resort, they will need to be overturned through war. Here is what the most knowledgeable and respected political author on the Roman Catholic Church had to say. No political event or circumstance can be evaluated without the knowledge of the Vatican's part in it. And no significant world political situation exists in which the Vatican does not play an important, explicit, or implicit part. That's Avril Manhattan in The Vatican and World Politics, Horizon Press, New York, page 7. And so Avril Manhattan, the most knowledgeable political author about the Vatican affairs in the 20th century, confirms that the Vatican plays a part in all significant world political events. So listeners, as we have mentioned over the past few weeks, the papacy planned to take down Protestantism in Great Britain so that they could take it down all over Europe and stop it spreading around the rest of the world. After the papacy failed to take down Protestantism in Great Britain through the Spanish Armada, and after they failed with the Gunpowder Plot, Satan then inspired the Jesuits to formulate a new form of anti-Christian political government that they could use to overthrow the Protestant world. This system of political government is called communism. What many people do not realize is that the Roman Catholic Church first tried out its system of communism in Paraguay in South America. They sought to perfect it with the Guarani Indians before they were ready to implement socialism to the rest of the wider world. We will now learn more about this experiment and how from this experiment the Roman Catholic Church were able to spread communism all over the world. Listeners, we will now listen extensively to excerpts from a message given by the late Pastor Reginald Wright called Uprising, Utopian Socialism and the Papacy. Here we will learn more about how communism developed and then spread to the wider world through the Jesuits of the Roman Catholic Church.
Utopian Socialism and the Papacy. Now, in case you didn't know, this book called Utopia was written by a man called Thomas More. Now, I'd like to state that Thomas More is a very significant person. He was born on the 7th of February, 1478, and he wrote this book called Utopia. Now, you must have heard the word utopia because it alludes to this perfect system. And he was writing about a perfect system of government. Now, Thomas More was a very dangerous individual because he was Lord Chancellor of England. And while he was Lord Chancellor of England, he, during the time of the Protestant Reformation, he hunted down the Protestants. It was him, more than any individual English figure, that was responsible for hunting down William Tyndale and bringing Tyndale to his demise. Now, he was beatified by the Roman Catholic Church in 1886 by Pope Leo XIII. So what they said is that he was blessed to the point that he was one that was entered into heaven, and that he is also, you as a Roman Catholic, you're able to pray to him. That's what it means. So he was beatified in 1886. Now, he was canonized by Pius XI in 1935. And that word canonized means that he was, as a deceased person, he was declared a saint. Now, the reason we had the scripture reading, Revelation chapter 13, verse 10, let's go to our scripture reading so we could set the foundation for what we're talking about. Now remember, we're talking about this uprising because he mapped out in his book Utopia the fundamental foundation for a perfect government, and his book is the basis for Huxley's Brave New World and Orwell's 1984, and also for H.G. Wells' book on called The New World Order. So he took the writings of Plato, because Plato wrote that book, Plato's Republic. He also took the writings of Thomas Aquinas and these men, and he started to harmonize these writings till he created this utopian society, which really is based upon a socialistic, communistic society. So if you're looking for the roots of socialism and communism, it comes right out from the Roman Catholic Church. And it's important. Now, our scripture reading, Revelation 13, verse 10, the Bible says, "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword." Now, what happened to Thomas More is that in July the 6th, 1535, he was beheaded by Henry VIII. Now, what else happened with this individual called Thomas More? Because he actually created this concept of the utopian society, and he set it in motion. And what we're going to do, we're going to see how this utopian society, how there's a drive to take it on today. And what happened is, before they went to those measures of trying to create this, what you call utopian society. They tried to dominate Europe through the front door. And the main sword for the papacy at that time was the Spanish Empire. The Spanish Empire was the viable global government. Spain was running things between Spain and Portugal. The world was divided by the Pope through Spain and Portugal at that time. And it came to a crunch in the year 1588 with what we talked about the other week, which was the Spanish Armada. But what happened, the small navy with Francis Drake and these men managed to defeat them on the high seas. But really what they said was that God breathed with his nostrils and they were scattered. And that was around the year 1588. So that actually capitulated any type of chance that they had of going through the front door and taking down Protestantism, because what they wanted to do is take down Protestantism in Britain so that they could take it down all over Europe and they could stop it spreading around the world. So what happened in 1588, you had the Jesuits. They had a mission, and that mission was to go to South America and to experiment with this concept of utopia. And they went to a place called Paraguay. And Paraguay, for those who live in the Caribbean, is near Guyana, not too far, but it's part of South America. And they created what they called these reductions. And these reductions were commune camps. And they sent the Jesuits over there and they took these Indian tribes, the Guarana Indian tribes, and they said, we're going to implement a communistic society amongst these Indian tribes and we're going to practice and make a model of communism. So they set up these cathedral towns, which they called reductions. And I was looking at some of the pictures of them. They were made so well, some of the cities that they built. And they were all given housing. They were all given equal wages. They were all given, you know, what you call the minimum wage. No matter what trade you done, you got paid the same. And they practiced and toiled with this system, which is called communism today. And they perfected it. And they made so much money out of it that the European powers started to get jealous of the amount of money that the Jesuits were making in South America. So they sent their armies over. But what happened is the Jesuits were so smart, they taught the Indians to cast cannon, make cannonballs. They even made the armor and muskets up to the same level as the European armies, and they defeated European armies on the battlefield. And the Jesuits were sending all these supplies down. For those who are into music, these men, they were so skilled at their profession, they could make these real nice guitars and stringed instruments and stuff. They were good at making all types of arts and crafts, and they made a whole heap of money through spices. And they lived like in a communal setting where everybody was equal. Everybody had a square meal. They had equal education for all the children. But what happened is at the highest level, they set it up in a way that it looked like the chiefs were running it. But at the highest level, you had Jesuit priests running the whole system. And they had these reductions all over South America, Paraguay. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that the same thing is being established today. The same things happened in the past, especially during the 20th century. You know, very serious things have gone on. Now, what happened is that they set in motion a system that they said, we're going to have to try it out in Europe. France was a place that hated the Bible. The Protestant Reformation took off, but it collapsed in France. and the Protestants were driven out. The Huguenots, they were sent down to the East End of London. Some of them went over into the Alps, and you found out that France became Protestant free. And what happened is the only religion that they knew was Roman Catholicism, and it got to the point that during the Reformation in the other parts of Europe, they had what you call the Renaissance, and you gradually got the idea that the people started to say reason is our god or goddess, and they started to worship the goddess of reason. And then they said, you know what, Catholicism superstition, God's superstition. So they've done away with Catholicism and they've done away with God altogether. But I'll tell you this, it was the Jesuits that were working all the time. Because you had a man who was a Jesuit and his name was Adam Weishaupt. You heard that name. Yes. And in 1776, he founded the organization on May the 1st called the Illuminati. And the Illuminati took up this concept of utopia, and their role was to create a new world order, a Luciferian world order. Because you've got to remember, people don't understand that what was the devil's purpose anyway in creating the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church was established for the sole purpose of hoodwinking the Christians into carry on with the worship of paganism, but putting it under a Christian garment. Catholicism is not and never has been a Christian organization. If anything, it's been baptized paganism. So these Jesuits, they always knew what their religion really was. They always knew that their religion was just Satanism, really and truly. So they have the intimate teachings of this organization. Now, he was a teacher. He taught canon law. Now, canon law is the law of the church. And he created this society that was to set up a one world banking system. And the Council of Trent, their goals was to set up a one world banking system, a one world political system, you know. And it was like, people think the Council of Trent was just, it was a system just to stifle the Protestant Reformation. It was to stifle all type of growth altogether. So Weishaupt created this organization called the Illuminati. John Robertson, in 1798, he was a Scottish professor. He wrote the book called Proofs of a Conspiracy. He toured Europe and he went to all the different Masonic lodges. And what he realized was that the Jesuits had seized control over the Masonic lodges. They changed the systems of how the Masonic lodges worked, and they were going to use the lodges to create this one world government and stand back out the way so it looks like it's a secular drive to create a one world government. Now, another thing that you have to understand as well, that in 1776, when this group called the Illuminati was established, the Jesuits were disbanded. So they were doing their work under a new name to create this organization called the Illuminati. And you know what? He stated that he's no longer a Catholic. So it looks like, no, I'm no longer a Catholic. But when you read the documents, on his deathbed, he made sure that everybody knew that he has always been a Catholic and he's always been a Jesuit and he always stayed with them.
And so, listeners, as we have just heard, communism was first tried out by the Jesuits in Paraguay and then in France. Then it spread to the rest of the world. Once again, we reiterate that the purpose that Rome had and has with establishing communism and socialism. It's to destroy Protestantism in this world and to set up Roman Catholic social teaching as the basis of state governments. Note, once again in Revelation chapter 17, that Jesus pictured the papacy riding or directing a scarlet-coloured beast, which clearly indicates that it is the Roman Catholic Church directing and controlling the governments on this earth within the territories that it controls. When one studies the organizations and movements that came into being after the French Revolution through the influence of the Jesuits, one will find the roots of all the socialist movements that are in European society today, which spread to the rest of the world. Now, a very good reference work that documents how these socialist movements, hidden and open, spread throughout Europe and the rest of the world, is the book called World Revolution by Nesta Webster. It documents how the Jesuits were at the root of their creation and how, quote, secular communism, by its insistence on materialism, eliminates the only factor that makes the system feasible, belief in God and the hereafter, unquote. See World Revolution by Nesta Webster, page 16. We must always remember that Roman Catholicism was established by Satan to deceive Christians into worshipping paganism or satanic religion under a Christian garment. And we must always remember that there are many faithful Christians in the Roman Catholic Communion. We encourage all who are listening tonight, especially our Roman Catholic, to study these matters out for themselves and to realize that these series of meetings are being presented to expose the system of religion and government that their church is built upon. It is not our place to judge any individuals who are within these institutions themselves. So, listeners, we will have another break and come back with our closing thoughts. Thank you. For our closing thoughts this evening, I will read from the book called The Great Controversy Between Christ and Satan, from pages 287 and 288, written by Ellen G. White. When France publicly rejected God and set aside the Bible, wicked men and spirits of darkness exulted in their attainment of the object so long desired, a kingdom free from the restraints of the law of God. Because sentence against an evil work was not speedily executed, therefore the heart of the sons of men was fully set in them to do evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. But the transgression of a just and righteous law must inevitably result in misery and ruin. Though not visited at once with judgments, the wickedness of men was nevertheless surely working out their doom. Centuries of apostasy and crime had been treasuring up wrath against the day of retribution, and when their iniquity was full, the despisers of God learned too late that it is a fearful thing to have worn out the divine patience. The restraining spirit of God, which imposes a check upon the cruel power of Satan, was in a great measure removed, and he whose only delight is the wretchedness of men was permitted to work his will. Those who had chosen the service of rebellion were left to reap its results and its fruits until the land was filled with crimes too horrible for the pen to trace. From devastated provinces and ruined cities, a terrible cry was heard, a cry of bitterest anguish. France was shaken as if by an earthquake. Religion, law, social order, the family, the state, and the church, all were smitten down by the impious hand that had been lifted against the law of God. Truly spoke the wise man, "The wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him, but it shall not be well with the wicked." Proverbs chapter 11, verse 5, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 12 to 13. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 29 and 31. God's faithful witnesses, slain by the blasphemous power that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, were not long to remain silent. After 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Revelation chapter 11, verse 11. It was in 1793 that the decrees which abolished the Christian religion and set aside the Bible passed the French Assembly. 3 years and a half later, a resolution rescinding these decrees, thus granting toleration to the scriptures, was adopted by the same body. The world stood aghast at the enormity of guilt which had resulted from a rejection of the sacred oracles, and men recognized the necessity of faith in God and his word as the foundation of virtue and morality. Saith the Lord, "Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel." Isaiah chapter 37, verse 23. "Therefore, behold, I will cause them to know, this once will I cause them to know, my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Jehovah." Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 21. Now concerning the two witnesses, the prophet declares further, "And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." Revelation chapter 11, verse 12. Since France made war upon God's two witnesses, They have been honored as never before. Those two witnesses, by the way, brethren and listeners, they are the Old and the New Testaments that are written in the Bible. In 1804, the British and Foreign Bible Society was organized. This was followed by similar organizations with numerous branches upon the continent of Europe. In 1816, the American Bible Society was founded. When the British Society was formed, the Bible had been printed and circulated in 50 tongues or 50 languages. It has since been translated into many hundreds of languages and dialects. For the 50 years preceding 1792, little attention was given to the work of foreign missions. No new societies were formed, and there were but few churches that made any effort for the spread of Christianity in heathen lands. But toward the close of the 18th century, a great change took place. Men became dissatisfied with the results of rationalism and realized the necessity of divine revelation and experimental religion. From this time, the work of foreign missions attained an unprecedented growth. So that was from The Great Controversy, pages 287 and 288 by N. G. White. And so, as we continue to study about the Vatican in Europe next week, listeners, we will see how the world wars were planned by the Vatican in an attempt to exterminate Protestantism from Europe and to bring in a new form of European government based upon Roman Catholic socialist and fascist policies. So bearing all this in mind, let us now pray to close. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, truly, which is the only truly reliable history book that we have in this world. Every word that's written in your Bible is eternal truth, and it is the only book that we can rely upon in order to guide us as we live in this world. So, Lord, I simply ask your blessing to be upon the study tonight, and that this message would spread far and wide, and that it will help us to understand the history of this world, especially in Europe, so that we can know where we have come from, where we are today, and where we are going to in accordance to your word and your will. So bless us and keep us. And these things I ask humbly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you'd like more information, please send an email to inquiries@witnesspublications.org. You can also listen to and download our radio program podcasts at https://voice-in-z-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. On next week's program, we will continue with part 11 of this series of radio broadcasts called The Vatican in Europe. Well, that's it for tonight's radio broadcast. Until next week, good night. God bless listeners.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.